Okay, what the Lord's laid on my heart is we're going to do a book study here for a little bit. We probably won't do the whole book. If not, we'll have to skip through some parts, but we'll see how we go. We're going to do the book of Romans. I haven't done a book study for a long time. Full disclosure, it's really not my total cup of tea doing it this way, but nevertheless, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, right? I felt the Lord kind of touch my heart to want to go through some of these things and going through Romans, and we're going to jump right into it here. The book of Romans is considered, you know, probably one of Paul's greatest masterpieces of scripture that he wrote. And because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that we know that this book is both hard-hitting as well as uplifting, as we're going to see here. It was written to a church that needed a lot of direction in life, like many churches today, probably correct. And the church was made up of both Gentiles as well as converted Jews. And the book of Romans has changed the lives of many ministers throughout the centuries, one of which was Martin Luther. Many of you probably heard of him, correct? Martin Luther. He was a Catholic monk that read Romans 1:17, that the just shall live by faith. And we consider him the father of the Protestant movement. So just how the impact of Scripture can really change the course of history. And there's countless other ministers I could have mentioned that, you know, what's amazing is if you read some of church history, some of these ministers love God, and some of them even went to the mission field, in my opinion, even before they were saved. One of which went to the mission field, come back, felt like a failure, and he read the book of Romans, and all of a sudden he felt enlightened. And then it just totally changed his life. He's one of the greatest preachers that probably hit our continent. So just the fact of what the Word of God can do, and that's why, you know, we don't want to water down the Word of God. We would be considered more of a conservative church than a liberal church. And the difference between the two is a conservative church puts the Word of God first, while sometimes a liberal church will put more of feelings and how we feel about things ahead of the Word of God. So they don't go by really they do use the Bible, but sometimes they do it like, interpret it like, this is how I feel. This is what I feel this says. You know, and we got to be careful about that. Because how many know that feelings lie? You know, I've went into, that's one of my major themes in life, is I know that feelings lie. And that's why we have to go by faith. Nobody really knows for sure exactly who started the church in Rome. So they needed some apostolic direction. The Catholic Church kind of claims Peter did it. And he might have, but he would have probably not went there in person and just started it and stayed like Paul did in a lot of his churches. But maybe through when he was preaching there, when 3,000 were converted in Jerusalem at the outpouring of Pentecost, could have been some people from there went and started this church. But nevertheless, you know, this church was probably starving for doctrine. Because as you read the book of Acts and different things, as you look through church history, you know, Apollos was a great orator, a great preacher, and he went out and was preaching the gospel, but he didn't have the full picture. See, they didn't have a Bible like we have today that was compiled books where we can kind of put everything together and formulate a big thought about what God's saying. Some of them just kind of played what was dealt. You know, where they had a page or two here, and they just ran with it. And so the Church of Rome, and that's why Paul, this masterpiece that he wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, covered so many different things. We're going to go into them. Some of them we like, some of them we may not like. You know, but the Word's a Word, right? And we can't really shy away from it. You know, not about you, but sometimes we know just enough to be dangerous, and that's why we need to be grounded in the Word. Have you ever known just enough to be dangerous? When I first got saved, I didn't know a lot, but I knew I loved Jesus. And that was good. But in that, I did a little damage in the kingdom of God probably by being a little intense in some areas. You know, sometimes we just need the big picture. The theme of this book is the righteousness of God revealed to us by faith. And if we could see people, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God, on how Jesus Christ and what he did and what he paid for, and who we are in Christ, it'll revolutionize the way you live your life. To me, the book of Romans was well balanced, and it shows both the legal and the vital side of our redemption, meaning the legal side is what, kind of on paper. Like I've always said, you may be married on paper, but if you don't live together, the vital side of your marriage isn't very good. You got to get together. You got to be with each other. And so Romans kind of talks a little bit about the legal side of what God did. And then once we really grab a hold of what God did for us, then we can start to live that stuff in our life. So God throws out some ideas and some thoughts here that are big thoughts, big concepts. And then once we, in our finite mind, can grab a hold of some infinite revelation from God, it's going to change the way we live our life. It's going to change the way we do things. It's going to change the way we process information around us. Because we all come at life with a little different view, right? And we've been influenced through the years by maybe school, by family, maybe media, all these different things. But then we need to come to the conclusion that God's word has the final say in my life. When we get to that, it's going to change your trajectory. See, we can attain everything that God says that is attainable by faith. You have to get that down in your heart. Everything that God says is possible, it's possible for you. Not just for somebody else. You know, looking to the right or to the left of the people by you today, oh, they can get it, but I don't think I can. No. It's for whosoever believes. And so we have that option, that opportunity. So what Romans does, it shows the difference between deeds of the law and living by faith. So we're going to go through this. We're going to pick out a few scriptures as we go through this first chapter. I may make it to the end of it. We'll see. And then it's going to hopefully, it's called exegetical preaching, and it's going to help us try to see the big picture. So we're going to try to stay on task here. Starts off in Romans chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ being poured out into each of our hearts. We thank you that God has anointed us to preach the gospel, the good news. Lord, right now we just want to yield to everything that you have for each of our lives. And I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the Apostle Paul here, he started off, and as he did in many of his letters, is the fact that he started off giving some background to show his authority for writing this letter. Some people sometimes doubted Paul's authority for whatever reason. Now, Paul went out and he planted many churches. And when he went to a church, as an apostolic ministry, he had a foundational ministry, and he would establish things to help a church be strong. He would appoint maybe some pastors and elders in the church, and they would, you know, do that, and then he would try to pour his life into them, and the church would become stronger. Because a lot of attacks come upon a church, especially a church that maybe doesn't know the big picture. Because the enemy comes in, and he tries to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he's going to try to do to your life, and that's what he tries to do to my life. He'll try to divide our marriages. He'll try to separate us from the flock. He'll try to hurt our kids. All these things is what Satan tries to do to be able to try to bring destruction to our lives. So Paul started off by giving some background about who he was and what God's called him to do. Now, as an apostle, I mean, that's kind of to me, probably the top ministry gift between apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. The apostle is the foundational. That word apostle means sent one, sent with a specific purpose. a specific call upon his life. And it's a call that goes out and it plants churches. Now, but Paul started off with that, but then he said something here, a word that we should grab a hold of. He said he's a bondservant of Jesus Christ. That Greek word is doulos, which means one who is in permanent relation of servitude to another, or his will being altogether consumed by the will of another. Paul was saying that I am a servant of Jesus Christ first. I choose to serve him, not because he is making me be a servant, but because I choose by an act of my will to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And that is what God wants for you and I to do. He will not make you, but he invites you to come and to be a part of his family, be a part of his big picture in life. And we can be a part of that. But we have to do it, and it's got to be voluntary. Voluntarily choosing to be a slave implies obedience and devotion to somebody else. And that's important for us to do, because so many times you and I get caught locked in our little world. You know what I'm saying? Now, we live in a big world, correct? But as long as our focus stays on self, we're going to miss out on so many great things in this world that we could be a part of. So God, in his infinite wisdom, is inviting you and me. Hey, come and be a part of what I'm doing. Come and be a part of what I'm doing. And in doing that, then we start to be able to flourish and find out the purpose for why we are here. To be honest, that's a great feeling when you find out why you're on this planet. Now, number one, I can see we're not going to get through this now. I'm just running off different places. But, you know, number one is that, have you settled in your heart that God created this stuff, the heavens and the earth? I mean, to me, we had to come from somewhere. I don't know. I just don't think we evolved from nothing. To get something, it has to come from somewhere. And my little brain can wrap around the fact that God created the heavens and the earth. And that he is the ultimate creator of everything that we see, everything that we're a part of here today. Now, I do not know where God came from. As I've said before, that'll blow your mind, won't it? But I don't have to think back that far. I just got to know where I come from. Most people want to know where they come from. What your roots are. Where do I come from? That talks about origin. And I'm going to do a series on this here coming up. God's really been speaking to me about this. Origin, destiny, and journey. These three things are important for you and I to figure out. Where we come from, where we're going, and how do we get there? If we can figure that out, we can live a successful life. And the importance of how God is on our side and wanting us to be able to find that out. Now, what's interesting, and you may not have known this, but Rome was known for having the most slaves of any other culture of that time. They had more slaves than any other culture. And so, given the fact that there was this kind of slavery or culture there, for Paul to say, I make myself a slave, I'm sure it exploded some of their minds. Why would you want to become a slave? If you can be free, why would you want to become a slave? To become a slave to God is different than any other thing, because what we're going to see is the fact that only by becoming a slave to Christ can we be free from this world. We will never be free from the power of the prince of this air, which is talking about Satan, and all the pull, the lust of the flesh, and all these different things that are in this world trying to entice you and I to live for self instead of living for God, we'll never be free from all that until we surrender our life to God, until we surrender and give our life to Him. When we start to walk in His victory is when we walk in victory. Without that, we'll never walk in victory. Oh, you may attain things, but what good is it, the Bible says, if you gain the world but you lose your soul? What's smart for us to do, people, is sometimes, I don't want to be too morbid here, but think about people who are laying on their deathbed. Ask them some questions. What's important? If you had an extra day to live on this planet, what would you do? Oh, I'd go to work. No, probably not. You'd probably want to spend time with those people that are most close to you. But see, the world twists and tries to break our focus and gets us to try to think about things that aren't really important that you can't take with you anyway, right? So if we kind of are a student of history, a student of the Bible, of course, and a student just of human nature, we can start to learn some things about the world around us, and that's becoming self-aware, and that's what I'll be teaching on Wednesday night, self-awareness, and how that's so important in our leadership. Paul then goes on to say he's called as an apostle. Now, the idea of being called, what I see about that, it's past tense, meaning, you remember what Paul did back when his name was Saul? He persecuted the church. He threw countless Christians in prison. Matter of fact, he stood there and held the cloaks of the people who were throwing stones at Stephen, who was martyred to death. So Paul was in hearty agreement to that. What's hard for us to get our head around is that he was still called then. We've been called from the foundation of the earth. Even though we're walking maybe a lifestyle that's not there. So that called is just a stamp that God gives us. That's the plan. That's the perfect plan, is the calling that God has on our life. That's what He wants us to do. And it's up to us to step into that calling. You know, the scripture says all are called, few are chosen. Why is that? Because not everybody wants to do their calling. Not everybody wants to surrender and walk with Christ and how important it is to find perfect fulfillment. You know, my wife tells a story about me quite frequently, at least around the house, that, you know, it just came up yesterday, or day before, that before I accepted the fact that God called me to be a pastor, I used to just pace around the house. I would walk from one end of the house to another, just walking back and forth like a caged tiger. Because I was resisting the calling that God had on my life. And so what happened was, finally I come to the point where I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I will do. When I did that, the peace of God just hit me, and I stopped pacing. And that leads to the next part, is the idea of separation. Paul said he was called, and then it talks about separation. Paul had been a Christian probably for around, I think, 12 years before he laid it, before God finally separated him, because we were called from the foundation of the earth. And when we see this concept of what that's talking about, calling it separation, separation means separated from everybody else or separated for a special function. God called Paul out of the pile and told him what he was supposed to do. That was a hard calling. I mean, he was to take the gospel to the Jews and the Gentiles. And we look at church history and through the scriptures of what happened to him. I mean, he was on ships at went down, and he was in God's will when it happened. Yes, bad things can happen when you're in God's will. The enemy comes in like a flood, tries to stop us. Paul just kept going. Remember, he was sitting there by the fire after they got out of the water, and they, oh, wow, God must have intervened, saved you guys. Well, then all of a sudden, Paul was carrying some sticks. He was a servant. Went and got some sticks for the fire, and a snake jumped up and bit his hand. Oh, this guy must be really bad. Because here God spared him from the water, but now he got bit by a poisonous snake. Paul didn't die. Matter of fact, Paul never got sick. Well then, whoa. Paul must be something. And so what happened in his life is that he was called from the foundation of the earth, and then 12 years after he got saved, he was separated. We find that in Acts, I want to say around chapter 13, not sure, when they were fasting and praying, they separated him and Barnabas for a work, and that's when he started his first missionary journey. And he went to places that nobody knew about Jesus. And he preached from scratch. You know what I'm saying? Scratch. Nobody had a lick of knowledge about Jesus Christ. And he had to bring the gospel to these people. And he did. And he started churches. Now, Paul, as we say, his preparation, that 12 years before his missionary journey, and sometimes we don't like to wait, but preparation is never lost time. But on the other hand, if we fail to prepare, there'll be a lot of lost time. We need to prepare. And that's what you're doing now. You're putting the Word of God in your life. I don't know exactly everybody's calling here today. There's a few people here I do know that God has a call upon your life to do some things. Now, He has not maybe separated you yet for that calling to step into that, but nevertheless, God has a plan. And so what you're doing is you're preparing. You're putting the Word of God into your life. You're getting grounded in the Word of God, because once you get separated out for the calling, you know, sometimes you may not have all the support system you have here that you have today. Because you're going to be out there on your own cutting a path. So it's good to get the Word of God into your life right now. Get involved in ministry here in the local church. Learn all that you can. I mean, you don't still wake up someday and all of a sudden, hey, I've arrived. No, it doesn't work like that. You need to gain experience, ministry experience, working. And to me, you know, doctrine is very important. But one thing, if you pray for me, pray for the anointing. To me, the anointing is one of the most important things that you and I can ever have in our life. That's what separates us from everybody else, is the anointing upon our life. And anointing is something that you and I can strengthen and enhance through different processes in our life, living a life of maybe a little more separation from the lusts of this world and the things of this life. Maybe a little better prayer, maybe a little fasting every now and then. Hey, fasting never killed anybody, right? Pushing away from the table a little bit. But all these things are so important, because what we can understand is that one of the most amazing things that you're going to experience in your life is when you do something for God that you know you can't do. But God did it through you anyway. That's amazing. That's just amazing. When we step into that place, and it just comes by a little bit of, you know, surrender on our part. And, you know, we're a good church here. We want to help you to be all you can be in Christ. Be one of your best decisions is just to hang around me a little more. I'm not bragging or nothing, but I do know Jesus Christ, and I do know the anointing of God, and I do know some things that I can help you with. But it's going to have to see a little bit of effort on your part to want to get that from me, to draw that out of me. You know what I mean? And when you do that, then different things are going to open up for you. So do not wait to get there to get ready. Get ready before you get there. Okay, now we're going to jump into our next little passage here. And I like this one here. I like it all, but this one's kind of cool. Romans 1, 4 to 5 says, talking about Jesus here this time, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of the faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Okay, here, this is talking about the authority that comes from the risen Christ, not the agency of man. Paul had been acknowledged by the apostles. I mean, it took him a little bit, because here's a guy, you know, here he's out arresting you one day. Now he wants to join your prayer meeting. Don't think so, right? You go, I don't know about that. But anyway, he grew on him, I guess, kind of like fungus, I don't know. But he grew on him, and he could see the power of what God was doing in his life. Because what we have to understand is that the word God was probably mentioned 153 times in this book, in the book of Romans. And how God was wanting to reveal himself to the people. Now remember, this church was made up of Jews and Gentiles, meaning converted Jews. And so the importance of the Jews to really understand the Christ, who Jesus is, the Messiah. So Paul was talking about authority that had come from Christ and not some sort of organization. You know, just because you've been acknowledged by an organization doesn't mean anything as much as it does to be acknowledged by Christ. The word declared here, when Jesus was declared the Son of God, means to mark out definitely. And this was, like I say, for the Jews' sake. It was, to me, a drop the mic moment when Jesus rose from the dead. It's probably the greatest thing that ever happened in church history or in the history of the whole universe, the world. I mean, it's hard to distinguish between the cross and the resurrection. Really, to me, they're, you know, kind of one big story, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you'd have to have the cross before the resurrection, but, you know, just the idea of how all that comes together. And the idea of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, how important that was. Because anybody can say, yeah, you know, they like somebody come up and make up something. Oh, yeah, Muhammad rose from the dead in his spirit. Well, it's hard to challenge that. Or Buddha rose from the dead. He's not dead now, but he's in spirit. But Jesus Christ was declared the Son of God when God bodily rose him from the dead. No ifs, ands, or buts around that one. His body was actually seen. It's been documented. The resurrection is real. And we serve the resurrected Lord. Me, with my lightning quick intellect, would I want to follow somebody who's dead and stayed dead, or I want to follow somebody who is dead and now is alive that offers that new life to me? Well, I didn't have to think about that too long. I just grabbed right a hold of that. You know, the power of the resurrection. Then Paul goes on here to say he received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of the faith. You know, words here, we're going to see some words too as we go through this that's going to challenge us sometimes. You know, we don't like the word obedience. Who likes to be told what to do? I mean, come on. Not too many times, do we? But sometimes you just got to take it. You just have to take it. Obedience is good when we follow the right obedience. See, we need, Paul had grace. He received grace and apostleship to bring about this obedience. Now, we need grace to accomplish any ministry that God has called us into. We need that grace. That's God's unmerited favor. You know, it's when his strength is working through us. And that's when we start to see this. So, but too many times, people, we sell ourselves short because we only look at the what we can do in the natural instead of seeing what God can do through us in the supernaturally. And that's where we start to understand things, when God will do things. You know, I never thought I would ever speak in front of people. Wasn't my thing. You know, I have more of a just hang out and, you know, maybe tell one-line jokes. Just kind of that kind of deal. Didn't really have any desire to be up in front of people, talking to people or nothing. But little by little, you know, I've always said this, I started out working with little kids. I mean, I couldn't even handle 5-year-olds. I started out with 3-year-olds because I knew I was smarter than a 3-year-old. Praise God. I did know a little more about Jesus than a 3-year-old because I wasn't saved very long when I started working with kids. I didn't know you wasn't supposed to do stuff in the church. I say that sarcastically. But see, I just thought when you got saved, you just hopped right in there and started getting stuff done. That's how you learn. I learn by hands-on experience the best. I like learning that way. And so I availed myself. I started to get involved. And I started to grow. And then I started to work with other different groups and stuff. But see, I don't believe I would have been here today if I wouldn't have started there yesterday. I really don't think I would have. Because I had to start somewhere. We need to start somewhere. We need to get there to the place and start to experience, you know, how God does things and what all's going on. So, amen. Let's keep on trucking here. Let's go to verse 6 and 7. It says, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, to all the beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who's he writing this to? Was he writing this to ministers, or was he writing just this to the whole church? The whole church, right? This was a letter to the church at Rome. Everybody. So it's like us, like if I went to the mailbox and got this letter, and I brought it here on Sunday, and on the address it didn't say to Pastor Brad. No, it says to the Church of River Life Family Worship Center. Okay? I brought this, and let's say the Apostle Paul wrote that. And I would come here and I'd read this to you. And here he says that, you know, we are the called. What does that mean to you? Can you look in the mirror with a straight face and say, I am the called of God? If you can't, you need to start doing this tomorrow. When you wake up, surely we all stand in front of a mirror at least once a day, right? Make sure everything's in place. Make sure nothing's falling off. You know what I'm saying? But you need to talk to yourself, look yourself in the eye and say, I am the called of God. God has called me out of darkness into his light. I am the called of God. And when we see that, things are going to start to change. Then he said something else that's kind of interesting, that not only are we the called of Jesus Christ, but God says here that we're called as saints. Does anybody know what a saint is? What's a saint? I'm sure we got an idea. You know, some of them have their own medals, right? Saint Christopher, Saint Jude, right? He says that we're called saints. What would it be like if you went to family dinner today and you sat down in front of the family, hey, guess what? I'm a saint. What? No, you're not. I remember you when this, and how many brought up, tried bringing up your past? When they bring up my past, I just remember my future, praise God. Because I have no past but the cross. That's as far back as I look. I don't look past the cross. That stuff's dead. And we need to see that. Believe me, you'll go a long ways. But, you know, the word saint there is just talking about a holy one. That's the positional truth. We may not be holy at the time. We may be kind of cantankerous, kind of moody, kind of crabby. But still, we're called as a saint. We just need to line up with it. We're just not grown into that yet. We need to grow into that. And start to, maybe we'll get some t-shirts made. Maybe that'll help. Saint so-and-so, Saint Sandy, right? Would that be good? Get some t-shirts? No. So the idea here is that, you know, if we're a Christian, God calls us a holy one, and, you know, we just need to accept that and help us to understand what that means. I mean, it doesn't mean we're perfect. A lot of times we think holiness is perfection. You know, technically, this kind of holiness is talking about a positional truth. And once we understand what God says we can be, then we can start to grow into that. Most of us probably lack confidence. Would that be true? We probably lack confidence spiritually for whatever reason. And so we need to get past that. Now, Paul, and we're going to probably stop with this one here. In verse 8 it says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world." Paul was kind of pepping them up right here. Sometimes you need a little pick-me-up. Wouldn't that be kind of cool? Paul comes to our church and says, "Woo, everybody's talking about you guys. You guys got faith, right? Woo, I got faith." They're telling about him. What was kind of interesting here is the fact that Paul was kind of encouraging them because, you know, these Christians in Rome was living in a very hostile territory. You know, Rome was the center of power of that day, and the Romans worshipped many gods, and the Christians were considered a cultic group for being monotheistic, meaning they only served one god. And so it brought a lot of persecution to them. As a matter of fact, later on, they were considered a severe threat to Roman society. And Nero, what he did is the town was on fire. Rome burnt to the ground, a lot of it. And so everybody turns against the leader when those things happen. So what he do? He blamed the church. He blamed Christians. And that just happened a little bit after this. And then, you know, maybe 10 years or so after this was written, not quite. But so what happened then is that this church was severely persecuted. And see, that's what happens sometimes. We don't fit into society all the time, do we? There's some things that we may not allow to stand in our life. We may not participate in, perhaps, at work because of maybe what people are saying or what they're doing. And we may not be invited to some things because of maybe the stance that you and I, and that, to be honest, that's small persecution. Hey, compared to getting burned at the stake or fed to lions, come on. And that's what happened to these guys. Some of them were, they would take a piece of leather, and they would wrap it around the Christian, and they would sew them in this, and they would throw them out there and let the lions play with them. I mean, think about that. And so the little persecution you and I get, nothing, is it? It's all about perspective, right? If you look at the big picture, it kind of changes us from being a boo-hooer. Aw, poor me. Yeah, I know some of you got it rough. I know I have it rough sometimes. But it ain't that bad. Not that bad. In the big picture, what God can do. And so as we continue, you know, in the idea of, you know, you and I have choices. You know, we can refuse to cow down to societal norm. And if we do that, we're considered a threat due to some of our beliefs. And we're going to go into some of this, a little later on here. We're starting to get into some of the heavy stuff. And we're going to stop right here, but I want to ask a question. As a Christian, are we supposed to fit in, or are we supposed to stand out? That's something we need to decide. Now, we don't purposely have to go out and just poke the bear, you know what I'm saying? I don't go looking for fights. But if one comes, I'm ready. You know what I mean? And Paul is getting ready, and we're going to go into this next week, of dealing with some heavy-duty subjects. And I encourage you to read the rest of Romans 1 and some of Romans 2. And that's why I wanted to do this study, is so we could do this journey together, where you can actually maybe do a little prep time if you want. You can open your Bible and kind of read through this a little bit and kind of get on page with where we're going. And the great things that God wants to do through you and I far outweigh anything we could ever experience in this world, because we're better together. And the things that we can do and accomplish with each other is going to be make an impact that is powerful. But we got to get to the place where we can see ourselves in that light. And so that's only going to happen when you and I decide to put God's word first. Amen? And see that challenge. So as we go through this book, we're not going to go through every scripture. Today was just a foundational thing to try to get some things out there. I've really enjoyed studying for this. Just some things that I've noticed about the Church of Rome and the idea of why Paul maybe wrote this letter. You know, to be honest, Paul, this was not his church. He never planted this church. This wasn't his baby. See, my wife and I, we started this church. This is kind of our baby, so it's a special place for us. You know, but Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he probably knew this church maybe didn't have a spiritual father. Maybe this church maybe felt like an orphan. And he knew that they needed some direction in life. And, you know, here's what I think. And I'm getting a little off. My second sermon's coming right now. I can sense it, so I better stop. But some of us are a little older. And we can keep all this vast information that we've learned over the years to ourselves, or we can choose to pass it down to the next generation. God has challenged me not to quit. A lot of people get to the place in life where, oh, I've done this for years, whatever. And then God's invested maybe 30 years in your life. And you know a lot of things, and you're not willing to share them with the next generation. That's selfish. It is. Because what I feel that I see in Scripture as well as life is that when we who are a little bit older can take people under our wing and kind of encourage them and strengthen them, share what we know, they can take it to the next level. They can go farther than we can go. Amen? I wish somebody would have done this for me when I started out. I didn't get that for whatever reason. Nobody did that for me. I'm first generation minister in my family. So I missed out on a lot of stuff I should have picked up before I even turned of age, but I didn't. So I had to play catch up. So I just wanted to lay that down in challenges here. Of just, God's not done with you yet. I want you to see that. God is not done with you yet. Amen? Amen. We're going to close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you so much for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be with us here today, to challenge us, to help us to want to be all that you've called us to be. Lord, we know that each of us are not here by chance. Lord, that we were born for such a time as this. That, Lord, you've called us out of that darkness into your marvelous light. But, Lord, we know we have to We have to accept that calling. I want to give opportunity now. If anybody's here that's never asked Jesus Christ to be their personal Lord and Savior, and you want to say, yes, that's me, Pastor. I want to make my peace with God. Or maybe you have made your peace with God, and you know that you've come to the place in your life. Maybe you fell away a little bit, and you're saying, Pastor, that's me. I want to rededicate. I want to come back. I want to get back to what you have for me. If that's speaking to you, just slip up your hand, either that was whether first time or second. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you raised your hand, I want you to stand up where you're at right now. Amen. Amen. Why don't you come on up here? Praise God, just real quick. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the idea of coming back to where God wants you to be is a powerful thing. You know, I know in my life when I stepped out from the crowd, what that means. Yeah, it means you're saying, God, here am I. I've separated myself from the rest. I know that I need to get to where you want me to be. Amen. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now.